The meeting will, of the Watersheds, Wetlands, and Buffer Protection Subcommittee will come to order. Let's just do a quick roll call to see who's here. I think we can tell, but...
Enzo?
Present.
Doty? Hunter?
Here.
Poppy? Peterson? Singleton?
So we don't have a quorum yet, then we'll, when we do get one. Now we have a, so now we have a quorum. So,
it's good to be popular.
You are, you meant
for any reason.
Yeah. Anybody said that?
You want to, President Gunther, would you like to move the minutes from the last meeting?
I certainly will. I read them thoroughly, Mr. Chairman.
Gunther moves approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay? The ayes have it. That's our approved. The first item of business is a presentation from Watershed Districts, and I believe Mr. Bowen, you're up first.
Actually, Mr. Chair, there's three of us here today. Okay. For record, my name is Ray Bowen. I'm with the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts. And with me at the table is Barbara Hockey, who is the Vice President of MOD and also the member of the manager of the Rice Creek Watershed District, and Cliff Eichenberg, who is the Administrator for Ramsey Washington Metro Watershed District. And they're going to help with the presentation today. My understanding we're here today is just to respond to the our thoughts on the OLA report on watershed management. There is a handout in your file, I believe, that kind of outlines and writing what we're going to be talking about today. And in addition to that, there's also a booklet in your file, which is something that we just started, which is a basically a compilation of all the watershed districts and what it is that, you know, who they are, what they're about, what they're doing. We're going to do that from now on an annual basis, because we think that's a real good way to help tell our story. I think, as I said, when we appeared before the full committee, I believe watershed districts are kind of one of the best kept secrets in Minnesota, and we need to start telling our story in terms of what we're actually doing out there on the ground, because I think we are just trying to get more things. So with that, I'd like to turn over to Barb Hockey again.
Some old friends I see here. And new friends. I'm Barbara Hockey, and I'm a vice president, or the president of the Rice Creek Watershed as the manager. And I'm just going to go through this handout that you pretty much have already received. But the thing that we do not dispute is absolutely true. The report states that water is one of Minnesota's most valuable resources. The quality and quantity of water in Minnesota is central to our way of life. To address the water issues, Minnesota needs to effectively manage its watersheds, and ideally surface water should be managed on a watershed basis. And as the Association for Minnesota Watershed Districts, and we call MOD, M-A-W-D, we would wholeheartedly agree with these statements. Storm water, runoff and drainage does not respect any watershed, any city or county borders at all. To resolve water management issues, we need to plan and manage the watershed. Watershed districts are, first of all, water quality and flood control experts. Absolutely. Getting things done. We have local level authority and a unique statutory blend of authority to raise funds needed for improvements and programs, and regulate the use and development of activities to ensure that protection of the water quality. Spending the tax dollars wisely. The auditor's report shows that districts spend money on needed projects, improvements, and programs. We provide public benefits. Our plans, projects, and programs, which require extensive citizen involvement and state approval, address real on-the-ground resource management issues like flood control, surface and groundwater quality, and recreational improvements. Some are even involved in sewer districts. We demonstrate accountability. It's detailed in the auditor's report. Districts are already accountable. We submit annual reports and financial audits to Bowser, the DNR, and our local appointing authorities and constituents. And as you know, we transcend all political boundaries. Districts manage on a watershed basis. This means we consider the drainage and the problems no matter where they occur. We work with all our cities and counties and the SWCDs to implement collaborative and coordinated projects and programs. Our watershed district is a proven model. It's backed by research studies, and the watershed districts in Minnesota have been successfully implementing projects since the mid-1950s. Minnesota watershed districts are recognized nationally as a unique local government model for addressing watershed issues. And in this booklet that you all have received, the Minnesota Watershed District Guidebook, it shows the 39 so far in here. If you look at page 56, which is the Minnesota Watershed District that I represent, the Brightstick Watershed District, and we are comprised of about 21 square miles, to let you know how innovative we are and what we're doing to do new things on your, the part on the right-hand side, the important recent activities. About the sixth item down, there's something that's called a resource management plan. We call it RMP. And with this particular way that we are doing new things, because in our district we have a combination of urban watershed area and we have rural. And so you've got old ditches that have been used in the past, right? So what we've done is that we've conducted a comprehensive natural resource inventory over that whole watershed. And then we talk about restoration of those wetlands and the reconfiguration of those archaic agricultural ditches. We still allow all the ditches in the water and the drainage to occur, but we put it in another more comprehensive way of being able to localize where that water is going so that where the land that could be built for development comes more in accordance with what the streets and the arterial streets are, so that the people have an ability to use their land, but we're still preserving all of our water and our wetlands. It has been very recognized, as it stated in my last paragraph presentation on this presentation sheet. It says that we are recognized nationally, and we've been in Georgia, et cetera, every place to try to help that particular plan. So thank you very much. I think I've talked off the cliff. You're going to speak on accountability?
Good afternoon. My name is Cliff Eichner. I'm the administrator of the Ramsey Washington Metro Watershed District. If you want to look at some of our accomplishments, we're on page 252 of that report. We're entirely urban. We're on the east side of the Ramsey County and west end of Washington County. And our office is in North Canada, about 4 miles north of here. I was going to talk about the next item in our handout is accountability. We want to stress the point that watershed districts are currently practicing and implementing a program of providing accountability to important watershed resources and our local governments. We produce annual reports and financial audits. We work with other, we also, most of us have websites where we provide public information. And we provide that and try to drive people to it from local governments and our citizenry to publish our reports as well as provide this financial information and other data about our district activities. The audit of this report does recommend that Bowser have greater oversight over water management activities, and we don't shy from that. We think we're already doing and providing substantial amount of information, but we would actually welcome Bowser's continual role in measuring and monitoring performance. But we would also like the opportunity to work with Bowser over the next year to develop what those reporting and accountability measures are. Mark believes also that Bowser does definitely need some additional tools and resources to accomplish those goals. That's a substantial requirement to place on Bowser with its current staff allotment, and we think that there are some additional tools and budget is probably needed to accomplish that. But we would like to work with Bowser in performing that function.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to talk about the third item in the Bowser reorganization. MOD currently recognizes a strong value in the Bowser organization as it's currently organized. It's the only state agency that fully recognizes the local resource management issues faced by watershed entities, and it is the only state agency currently able to provide watershed districts with a means to bring our issues into the state administrative process of policy and budget development. In turn, Bowser provides us with a meaningful support and assistance. We believe the Bowser Board is a valuable organization in its current structure. The board structure is local government's linking to state government in dealing with water management issues. The executive director of Bowser should remain a resource professional hired by the Bowser Board. This structure has worked well for watershed management in Minnesota, and without any compelling reason for change, we do not support any change. One additional authority that I'd like to mention, which is fairly critical, is the watershed districts are also ditch authorities. And as such, agricultural drainage ditches are an important responsibility for many of the watershed districts in greater Minnesota, especially in the pine farming communities across the state. So that is an additional activity that really isn't discussed much in the report, but is one of our key activities, especially for those watershed districts that are in rural Minnesota. Mr. Chairman, that concludes our general comments. We'd also like to make a few comments as it relates to some of the policy points that were made, and we'll start off with Cliff talking about some of these sunset provisions.
There's a general report talking about sunset provisions, and we believe that there really is no clear evidence in the report to support a dramatic approach of this to address the accountability issues. If anything, the approach would result in major political and strategic impediments to accomplishing long-term solutions to Minnesota water resource issues. To expand on that a little bit, many of the issues we deal with are long-term problems. Many of the projects will take 5 or 6 years to fully implement, and having a measure that really says that if you don't accomplish X kind of standard, you have to sunset would be a significant impediment to trying to look at those long-term projects. Ultimately, the state needs a reliable, stable local entity to implement needed watershed management programs and projects that will address flooding and water quality issues identified by the federal and state government. Their waters, TMDL, are a couple of examples, and their local resident issues of flooding, wetlands, and water quality.
Now, the second issue is selection of board members. Watershed board members are appointed by county boards. We believe this provides a clear point of accountability within the current local government structure. County boards have the ability to select and appoint managers that are both interested and qualified to perform these duties. I think one of the points not mentioned by the legislative auditor is that the county boards need to take their role in this process very seriously by soliciting qualified candidates and interviewing applicants to make sure they will perform their responsibilities in the interest of the watershed and the resources of the district. We believe that was a key element that we deserve some more attention.
Okay.
You're doing a good job.
Keeping things moving.
Right. I will go to somebody else. Okay. There's another comment that had to do with elimination of the WMOs. And although MOD clearly believes that the watershed district, we believe totally that we're a very effective and efficient organization for managing our watershed resources, we don't endorse the elimination of WMOs. There are clearly some very effective HMOs, but some that are not. And as shown in the report, many HMOs are not sufficiently funded to implement an effective water management program. We agree with the OLA that a better approach in the short term is to set clear standards for the performance and provide the Bowser with additional tools to assist poor performing organizations and replace the HMO with the watershed district where appropriate.
Another comment is consolidation of local level agencies. And although we acknowledge that there is the appearance of complexity and overlap in some of the resource management entities at the local and state level, we acknowledge that some continued discussion and research of this issue may be worthwhile, but there really is no clear evidence that the current system of agencies is impeding water resource programs and projects. A new consolidated approach is worth study for any uniform statewide watershed management initiative that we come up.
And the final thing, the consolidation at the state level. You know, as appealing as that may sound to some of us local government folks, we agree with what the legislative auditor said in his report that it would be extremely disruptive to advancing watershed management in Minnesota. And most of us figure out how to deal with the different entities that we have to deal with on an individual basis, and I think something like that would probably be counterproductive at this point. So with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that concludes our testimony. We'd be happy to answer any question, and just like to reiterate that we stand ready to work with Bowser If this this legislation feels there's more oversight needed, I would be happy to work with Bowser to try to figure out what that is. And I think one of the key elements is that if there is oversight, if there are things that are requested of us, we would hope that they would be used and not just collected, put in the file cabinet somewhere, and never looked at again. So I think whatever is done, I think that's one of the critical elements that we would like to see.
Okay. Members, any questions? Representative Wagenia.
I just have maybe more of a comment, but it's a question, and it's about your, there's no evidence that the current complexity is impeding watershed management. That was the one comment, and the other comment that you're glad to, you're working with Bowser well now. And I just want to tell you a little story about what happened in my district and see how, because the system that may work for you may not be working for citizens. And here's the story. When the Metropolitan Airports Commission decided that it was going to tunnel some of its runways so they could drive trucks under it, which was a fine idea, it did not know what would happen to the waters between that tunneling and the lakes in my district. And so our watershed, good watershed, Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, was getting some studies done and trying to find out about the flow of water. Did it flow toward our lake, away from our lake, all those kinds of things. And the citizens felt happy that the watershed district was involved. And then Bowser came in and said, oh, well, we've decided to take the Metropolitan Airports Commission out of Minnehaha Creek Watershed District and put it into an unorganized district just to the south.
Well, I just to respond to that, even though that may have happened.
It did happen.
And it did happen. What we're referring to is, the report's referring to the fact that there's stormwater conservation districts, and there's watershed districts, and there's water management organizations, and local water management entities, and that is there some need for consolidation is kind of the question that was posed. What WMOs and watershed districts serve basically the same function. Soil and water conservation districts are county-wide organizations. They all serve their function. They serve their specific function and duties and responsibilities. And when they're operating where they're supposed to, they really work well together. How that happened really isn't directly relevant to what the OLA was studying. That was a situation that was odd. That's a very strange local situation, but I'm not quite sure how it transpired. But I don't think that's directly applicable to what the OLA was studying.
Mr. Bowman, and
then Mr. Chairman, members of Ravine, just because we support the structure doesn't mean we always support Bowser's actions. And yeah, I need to make that clear. You know, there have been times that we have disagreed. In fact, we most recently sued Bowser over an issue that we disagree with them. But I think if you look at overall, their overall performance, and I think that's what we all have to judge. We don't think doing the recommendation of the legislative auditor actually accomplishes anything. In fact, I think it actually detracts from us doing our business out there on the ground.
Representative Wagenius.
I understood your testimony, but we're here trying to do some problem solving, and you don't want to do what the legislative auditor wants to do. But there's clearly some problem solving that needs to be done, and I just laid another problem on the table just to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So what I hear from you is you're saying we need to develop accountability, clear standards for performance.
They couldn't hear you before. I think they're turning them up.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mr. Bowen.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, and we hope, we assume that applies to everybody. We assume that applies to anybody dealing with water management, whether it be, you know, us, WMOs, counties, cities, SFCs, whatever. I mean, we'll put ourselves up against anyone out there, frankly. And I think, you know, in relation to that other issue, if I remember right, that should have, I mean, some of us would argue that should have been the DNR issue. And DNR should have been dealing with that issue, not have to force the watershed district to come in on the local and deal with that issue.
Well, I know exactly what happened. DNR just gave them gave the airports commission a blanket license to do what they wanted to do. I read the license.
Yeah. That was my understanding.
Representative Gunther?
You know, Mr. Chairman, thank you to any of the testifiers. You know, watersheds are certainly not confined. So the matrix we have on page 6 in the map is this cover Minnesota. They transcend state borders. And believe it or not, the river valley is the only place where water flows north. Down in the county I live in, it flows north, and where Judy's from. The Lewis River comes out of Union Slough down in Iowa, and it goes in three different watersheds. One slough does. It goes north, it through Bearable County. It goes east to the Des Moines River and flows south in another place. And it's very complicated. The largest feedlot built in Iowa was built on right near Union Slough, and everybody worried that we're going to get all the pollution. But in fact, it was going south. But it really is a big issue where I live. Who's responsible for what? And the water does flow right through North Minnesota, Bearable County, up to Mankato.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could just take a stab at that. I know that you do have Berkey down there, and I don't know if I understand that's one of the a nonprofit watershed organization. It's my understanding that they're very functional, and I've heard doing a pretty good job. That's their reputation up here, anyway.
And they're no longer funded, but other than
that seems to be kind of the current. When you talk about WMOs, you talk about the nonprofits and stuff like that. They don't have that funding stream, the constant funding stream, like watershed districts do. And I think that's one of our strengths, and one of their weaknesses. But in terms of who's in charge of that, you know, in reading the report, the legislative water actually made a blanket statement one or two times a year about we should be doing things on a watershed basis. And I, along with Representative Lanning, was a little dismayed that in fact they didn't make that bold recommendation about we should be establishing watershed organizations. They don't have to be all watershed districts. We're not advocating watershed districts. It seems to me there should be watershed organizations in every watershed, even watershed districts at a minimum around the state. And I think that's what it's really going to take, because once we get into this whole TMDL process, it's going to take that kind of organizational effort to get the job done.
I think basically the question I was trying to get to is, do you communicate with the watersheds in other states, since they have so much to do with each other? Like in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa, there's a direct relationship there, and they can do anything they want to, because we're the receptor of their water and their pollution, potentially.
Mr. Chairman, not only for the state, we actually communicate outside of the state and internationally. Up in the Red River Valley, some of the Roseau River Watershed District, I know, has a compact or working agreement with the watershed authority across the border. And I know the valley itself, the River Basin Commission, plays part of that role, coordinate the efforts not only between Minnesota and North Dakota, but also Manitoba as well. And then another example is Lac La Parle, a watershed district down in southwest Minnesota. You know, they get a tremendous amount of water coming in from South Dakota, and they've attempted to work with the state of South Dakota and with the watershed authority in that area as well. So we will work actually across those kind of boundaries as well.
Okay. Representative Angeles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To any of the testifiers, more of a comment than a question, but I'm sure it'll elicit a response. We all need to feel better, a lot, and in my case, a lot better, about the partnership between the state agencies, plural, and the patchwork quilt of players at the local level. To me, it just seems that a lot of emphasis and a lot of direction from whether it be the legislature, the executive branch, or wherever, we need to do a much better job of this area of communication, direction, technical assistance, supervision, so that things actually get done that are defensible, explainable, and accountable, because without support at the public, at the local level, we're all spinning our wheels a bit. So if either of you would like to respond to that global issue, I think I'd like that.
Striking it.
I mean, that's a common problem. Typically, though, where we've had an identified issue that people really want to address, and they really want to get around it and solve it, all the agencies have gotten together. They've decided where to get the funding. We've collaborated on communication and involving all the counties and cities and the watersheds, the salt watershed district. They've gotten together. It's where you don't have all the actors that all agree that a problem needs to be solved. But where we can get that resolution, that there needs to be some resolution to this particular issue, people have gotten together. And I think all the different organizations have a role to play, and they need to get to the table and maybe all decide how do we all pool our resources here.
Ms. Hockey.
First of all, I'm in a Lake Pepin stakeholders study group. And Lake Pepin and the water that's distributed in that whole watershed is almost like one half, two thirds of the whole state. 63% of our state goes into that area.
Right.
We are communicating with Wisconsin. We've got everybody at the table, all of the agencies you're talking about. But secondly, as Cliff is mentioning, when we have a project that we're doing, we try to make a one-stop shopping for various people, especially when you just have individuals that come into your watershed district to do something. When you've got all these different permitting people involved, we try to bring them all in at the time so it makes it easier for our constituents too. So we're doing that in our area, but I understand fully what you're saying because there are so many.
Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Yeah, thank you. I think for Mr. Bowen, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but the proposal to build a coal plant on the South Dakota side of the border outside of Hortonville. And there's been indication that the border treaty or whatever it is on waters, and it's pretty old, and maybe it hasn't been used, and they're dusting it off to ask some questions about South Dakota's desire to draw down a significant amount of Big Stone Lake. I'm just wondering if I think it would be the Upper Minnesota River District that has been formulating an opinion on this proposed action, and if you've got any information on that, I'd sure appreciate it. I think it's several million gallons, I believe, a day proposed. But it seems like South Dakota State and go ahead. Governor Plenty wasn't aware of it, and we're assessing. Have you had any dealings with this?
Mr. Bowen.
No. In fact, I just read, is that in addition to Big Stone plant?
Yeah, Big Stone. It's just called Big Stone 2.
Yeah. I'm not aware of that water issue at all.
Okay. Well, I've got some letters.
I can send a check on it and get back to you.
That'd be good to know. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just clarify, the book that you have in front of you actually does not have all the watershed districts in it, but it had all the information we had available today. We are compiling the information. And once we have a final book, we'll be giving that to you, Mr. Chairman, to present to the entire committee. So you can get it.
I did have one follow-up question, Ms. Owen. You did mention about websites and material. Could you just elaborate on what, do all the districts have a website? Do they put their reports on there?
Mr. Chairman, all the districts have either their own website or they have a page on our website, MOD's website. So they are available, and when they either advertise their own website or they should be advertising the web page on our post, we act as a host site. For those some of them don't frankly want to spend the money that it costs to host that, but when that happens, Voyage 2 is a good example. They use their page on our page, and what happens is
They sent us their, when they did their plan, we put it on for them. We have to maintain it. We have to do those sorts of things. We do encourage watershed districts to develop their own site if they have the capability and the money to do it. But now, in terms of the actual reports, you know, some have enough, you know, they're all different, but they all do their own websites. We have not put, I don't know if we have a report that we put on. For example, the report that we did, that Maud did, that we just recently handed out, we anticipate putting that on our website, and I think that's, again, I think that's something that would be a good thing that everybody have on their website. Now, I don't know if that's
a pretty robust website. The websites aren't listed in here for those that have them. And, we have a publications page, or this black publication that we have. They're all different in terms of how much complexity and how I put into it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation, and continue to work on the issue. Next up is Leanne Buck and Judy Erickson from the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts.
Hi, I was going to say good morning, but good afternoon. My name is Leanne Buck, and I'm the Executive Director for the Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. And so thank you for the opportunity to comment on the legislative audit report. In general, we do have our official response is in your packet, and but just a few comments that we want to make, and I won't go through everything in that packet. But in general, soil and water districts do partner with state, local, and federal government and entities, as well as the landowners. That's one thing I really want to emphasize, is our work with landowners to meet those individual landowners' conservation needs. Districts are accountable, and districts look forward to working with the legislature and Bowser to address Minnesota's water quality as well as other conservation needs. Basically, as it says in the report, water is complex, and we agree in the complexity, and we see ourselves, soil and water districts, as local government entities that are uniquely positioned to resolve some of these water quality issues. Districts are, there is 100% coverage across the state, and we represent also a nationwide framework of local boards and staff focused on soil and water conservation needs. And we use not only the state, but local and federal programs to guide those local priorities. One of the report findings that said on a statewide basis, Minnesota's performance of managing waters is unclear, and the state lacks sufficient data. And we're not surprised that an entity like the Office of the Legislative Audit that needs data to assess programs would need more data. But we also say the report uses water quality as a status of success or failure of a local entity. But at the same time, we acknowledge that only a fraction of our water bodies have been monitored and assessed. And so if you're truly looking at that watershed management, you do see the emerging process through the Clean Water Legacy will start to develop those standards, identify those problems and solutions for addressing. So again, the Clean Water Legacy is the emerging stuff that we see coming forward to have those watershed outcomes. Districts do, and we will continue to work with the state agencies to gain a better understanding of the required outcomes that you want for those watersheds and TMDLs and the desired state and local input as well. The report finding also said that Bowser needs to provide greater oversight and responsibility for local water management. We agree in the report that compared to other local watershed entities, districts receive a greater level of scrutiny from Bowser because of the funding mechanism. The conservation programs that districts do deliver are from Bowser, and we are accountable to Bowser. Through the UBE and the web-based process that Bowser does have, we have to report all of the grants, all of the landowner contacts, what those projects were. So they are in that eLink system. And we also want to communicate that there is accountability at the local level. This assumption that just because there might not be a whole report that gets generated all the time, there's still a local board. There's still local county commissioners that soil and water districts have to answer to. So there is accountability both at the state level and the local level. There was another recommendation that says that Bowser should provide performance standards and monitor the performance of local entities. And for soil and water districts, many of those performance standards, we do see some of those in place. We do report our annual reports. We have to put together comprehensive plans. We're part of local water management plans that either the county or the soil and water district are in the lead to. So again, we submit quite a bit of data to Bowser for those reports, for those annual reports. The Bowser board looks at those. They have subcommittees of local members that do look at these issues. So then as we move forward, and if we are to develop future standards beyond those that are in place, we feel it's important to be given the role, for consideration of the local level. The state can tell us that this needs to be done and that needs to be done, but there's also grassroots perspective, and they see priority issues as well. So anytime as we look at those performance standards, we want to have them taken into consideration, local and county ordinances as well as the local priority setting. And the other thing, too, we want a balanced approach to the reporting. To be honest, my folks would rather be in the field doing a best management practice, putting in a waterway, designing something, working with a landowner, doing a wetland restoration. So how much time do you want us in front of a computer reporting that may or may not get used by the state agency? So again, whatever we do, and we're not saying we don't want to be accountable to Bowser, we do, but we want a balanced approach. And then it goes on to a couple other recommendations. One of it is that to change the governing structure of Bowser. We believe that it's also important to recognize what Bowser does have. And what we see is Bowser does reflect a grassroots nature of the Soil and Water Conservation District. There are three local Soil and Water Board members that sit on the Bowser Board right along agencies. And so there's a commissioner of agriculture will be there, and so will be a local Soil and Water Supervisor who happens to be a farmer in a specific watershed that's doing the best that they can. So again, we see it as a place and a forum to exchange those ideas. So on the one hand, you're saying we want more responsibility and accountability for local government, but at the same time, then possibly loose breath would be a loss of some of that input and control. And so again, we like to look at the balance. So again, it's a shared perspective and shared outcome, and we want to keep that in place. So with the existing structure, we feel that's provided. And then there's also both in a lot of different governing models for both the local entities as well as the state agencies. In a nutshell, the report doesn't show a persuasive evidence of how the consolidation or changes in all those governance would result in better water quality or flood reduction. So you can change it, but if you're going to do that, look at how does that actually help. And I don't see that out of the auditor's report. So, again, the report seems to acknowledge that water resource management is a state responsibility. But for Soil and Water Districts, local government and the federal government have just as much of a role with our Soil and Water District infrastructure. In some respects, the state's getting a pretty good deal with Soil and Water Districts. Our infrastructure at the local level, if you look at computers, if you look at technology, technical standards, the technical training that district staff receive, comes from the federal government. The state's not providing all of those resources. Then if you look at the administrative budget for districts, primarily that comes from county government. So what does come from the state for Soil and Water Districts tends to be the programs, rim reserve, cost share, feedlot cost share, and those were all reporting those back to Bowser and what we've done with those monies. So the thing I want to keep in mind is I just returned from the National Association of Conservation District meeting. And that national, we're part of a 3,000 conservation districts on the national level. And so this is a national program. So when we look at some of our counterparts, the emerging issues that you guys are facing here at the legislature are the same. Renewable energy, some of those renewable. So I can't keep thinking in 5 years there's going to be audit report that says we should be governed by ecoregions instead of watersheds. So, you know, I keep this in mind. At the end of the day, we work with county government, we work with federal government, and we need to look at all of the emerging issues. Clean water legacy is a big one, and it's new to a lot of us as well as the legislature. So we, again, want, at the end of the day, we're working with Bowser, we want to work with Bowser, we want to do better, and we look forward to the opportunity of working with both Bowser and the legislature to do this thing.
Well, Mr. Chairman and committee members, my name is Judy Erickson, and I'm the lobbyist and the government relations person for the association. You'll see me in the house and around the halls, and I'm here today to provide moral support for Dan and help answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you. With that, any questions? Mr. Helen.
I'm just curious, since you just attended this national conference, and I assume you've been to previous ones too, I know this has come up in the past. Has any other state reorganized their soil and water conservation districts into some other kind of model?
There's a couple different models you can look at. The Wisconsin model is part of their county commissioners, but their county commissioners, I think a few of their counties have like 17 county commissioners or 15 depending, and so they end up being part of county government. You also have Nebraska has consolidated and looked at some of those. And it was just interesting because I was facilitating a meeting with four or five small water districts, and one was the Mauer SWC in Minnesota that received a national award. And the thing that was interesting to me from the Nebraska model is they combined, but at the same time, they also said, we do what we want, and there wasn't a lot of state oversight in the state role. So, but that could, you know, you have to talk to them about that. But the majority are based on county boundaries.
Any other questions? I'll ask the same question I asked Mr. Bowen on websites. And of the 91 soil and water districts, how many have websites with their reports? And
I'd have to double check. They're not all of them. They are working on it. I just had the group up in area, what we call Area 1, Rick, Representative Hansen was, there's about 8 or 9 of those that combined and worked with the University of Minnesota, Crookston, to do a web-based portal for a group of them. So I would say approximately 30 or 40.
It's 30 or 40 have them. Yeah. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. Could you make a model available to make it easy for each one to, so they don't have to do it all by themselves?
That's what we're looking at right now with this model that was just created with the University of Minnesota Crookston to look at some of those emerging issues. And we are having some individual basic things that are covered by some water districts and then also allowed for individuals to show some of the differences or the things that they specialize. So that's an emerging thing that we want to continue to approve of.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much, and I will leave time if there are other anybody else who would want to testify. Anybody else in the audience who would want to testify? Looks like there isn't. Any questions or comments from members? I know that the Soil and Water Day at the Hill is the 27th of February. We will be having a meeting here. We'll be considering the General Services Grant legislation at that time. We will be having a meeting next week as well. It'll be on Tuesday. Appreciate the accommodation, people, for the time change here. Any other questions or comments? With that, the meeting is adjourned.